I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
You're tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood. I have with me on the line Senator Carla Bigham with the Minnesota State Senate, and we're going to talk a little bit about the session in the past week. How are you doing today, Senator?
Great. Fantastic. Thank you for having me on today, Mike.
You're welcome. Has there been any kind of moment of release of pressure or that moment after the session ended?
Yeah, when I woke up this morning after actually getting a full night's sleep. we had a couple of late nights, it was not a normal session. Let's just be honest about that. And we adapted very quickly to new voting procedures, new committee structure, and just not being able to be present with your colleagues most of the time. And yet we still got a lot accomplished during this legislative session, but obviously nowhere near what we need to. We will be going into a special session, and that is for a couple reasons. One is the governor, now that we are out of session, cannot extend the emergency peacetime order. So we know the stay-at-home order has expired, right? So these are two separate things.
Right.
So the emergency peacetime order, he has to bring us in now that we are out of session. And the only thing we can do, the only motion that is relevant, is to terminate. And so we don't need to take action for him to extend. We only would need to take action if we want to terminate the peacetime order. And so now that we're going in naturally for that, I think that maybe took the pressure off of folks, especially the Republicans in the House, to pass a bonding bill, gives them a little bit more time.
Right.
As we know, the bonding bill has to come from the House per the Constitution, and they need a handful of, the Democrats are in charge, but need a handful of Republicans to vote for it because they don't have the number of votes necessary in as Democrats to pass the bill. So they need Republicans' help. So I think that's the biggest thing besides dealing with the emergency peacetime order will be the bonding bill. There are some things that were there, but due to also voting procedures taking a long time. And remember, we have 67 members. Representative Juergen has 134 members in the House. It takes a long time to vote, especially those that are voting remotely. And so that played an impact into some of the things that were already agreed upon. So those will be relatively easy on June 12th, which is when the governor has said he will call us back. One of those is a bill that I was very excited about, which provides funding out of the COVID account for small businesses. I've spoken to a lot of small businesses that kind of fell through the gaps of the federal funding, the PPP or the SBA funding. If you were an S corp or an LLC,
right.
Impossible pretty much for you to get any of the grants and or the forgiveness grants that were offered. And so we're taking some of our money that we received from the CARES Act dedicated to the state to allow them to do that micro grants. So you have to be a very small business. And we're also looking at how to help some of the cultural malls that are throughout the whole state. And those would be eligible as well. And these are some in greater Minnesota, some in the cities, cultural malls. So it's really trying to help these businesses that fell through the gaps. And I have had a lot of conversations with folks where that happened. And so I've taken what they've said to me and moved it forward. And so there is an agreement on it, but we just didn't have time to vote on it. This happened once when I was in the House too, where we had 20 or 30 minutes to spare before session ended. So we can't pass bills today. And we're not in session today because there's nothing for us to do. We're not at the Capitol. The Sunday, 11:59:59 is when we have to have bills done. And so there's been times, whether it was in the House and it happened again this session, where you had agreements, but just due to the time it took to go through all the votes, the clock ran out. It was Denny Green clock management when it came to being able to get through the votes very quickly. Because, again, you have 134 members in the House, and it's literally like Anderson, aye. Anderson votes aye. You know, like, and they right. both do that 134 times.
Yep.
And then for us, it's 67 of us, and you know, maybe half of us are there. And so then both the Republicans and the Democratic leaders have to get up and announce a name, and they have to say they voted aye and acknowledge it, and then the vote goes, the light lights up next to their name. So it does take a long time.
Right.
And so that happens, and we'll, you know, this is how it's going to be for a while.
Okay.
And obviously I'm sure if this is how it's going to be next session, they'll tweak the process to hopefully make it a little bit quicker. But we did a good job, Mike, of getting a lot of bipartisan stuff done. You know,
yes.
If you think about Insulin for All, was very, very important. We got a lot of HAVA money, which is the federal money for elections, for safe and secure elections, done, which is very important. We got renewable development, and I know we'll maybe talk a little bit about that bill through yesterday, a renewable development account bill through that, you know, really utilizes money out of the RDA account to help create renewable energy products and projects that are going to be very good for our economy by creating jobs, but also very good for our environment. And I tell you what, I was so, so, so proud of how bipartisan it was.
Right.
Because in a time when we are so divided, to be able to set it aside and know that this is good for our economy, good for our environment, this is what we should do. This is what Minnesotans expect us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I signed up to do.
Right.
And this is why I go and do it. And so it almost didn't happen. And I went and talked to my colleague, who had a very good amendment. Well, nothing wrong with his amendment at all, but it would have negated the agreement. And I said, oh man, don't be that person. This is an opportunity for us to show Minnesotans that we can set aside party labels, we can set aside the partisanness that they see so much of, and let's show them that we can take a divisive issue, such as climate change, which it never should be divisive. Climate change is real, and I don't get that, but that's a whole different segment on the show.
Right.
That, you know, we could take this issue and make it a reality and show people we can get things done by doing what's expected, which is working together. It is what it is. I think going back to the bonding bill, Mike, that's going to obviously be probably the top priority of the session. I think the majority leader in the Senate has said time and time again he wants a Senate bill, a bonding bill, I mean, and the one that they put up in the Senate. I'll be honest, obviously it creates jobs, but we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $1 billion, and we have the capacity and the ability to build infrastructure projects such as Highway 316 in Hastings, such as giving money to Hastings so that they can do historical renovations to their city hall, such as putting money into the Ramsey County, Washington County Recycling and Energy Center so that we can have curbside organic and do something great for our environment, our economy, and get that waste out of the waste stream and put it to good use for energy. Improvements to our parks, such as St. Croix Bluff and Ravine Park. You know, looking at our water infrastructure, our inflow and infiltration system, the INI as it's called, which is blocking stormwater from getting into our public waters, that is very old. The cities along the Mississippi are the oldest in the state. I mean, think of Hastings, mm-hmm. think of Newport.
Stillwater, yeah.
Stillwater. And, well, that's it, Corey, but it's...
that's right, I'm sorry.
But, you know, all of these projects that are in our aging infrastructure, we got to pass these bills. But why, in a time when we need jobs and economic stimulation in Main Street, you put people to work, you put money in the pockets of workers, you're putting money in the Main Street businesses. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to get our economy going again, and we can do that in a very sustainable manner. We have to set aside partisanness and holding stuff hostage for a jobs bill that's going to help everyday Minnesotans get back to work, but also invest in our much-needed infrastructure in our college systems, our KEEPRA, you know, which is our college, you know, they do HVAC, they do big, you know, projects for our colleges and our universities. And so stuff like that, that's very, very good. And I tell you what, I think we're going to be in charge in the Senate next year. And I hope when we get a chance to do a bonding bill again, my friend Senator Tom Bach from the Iron Rings. He's a carpenter, and he's just been around a long time, very astute in the legislature, and he pointed out something that I think we should take and run with, which is maybe we need to have two separate bonding bills. One that kind of deals with maintenance of current and existing state assets, and then a separate bill with the new shiny objects, right? Because right now they compete.
Yeah.
They compete, and mm-hmm. and why? And so if you can agree upon a target for one and a target for another, I mean, I actually think that's very, very smart, and we should explore that. So, you know, there's ways of doing this, but kind of the bonding bill got caught up in a political issue in the House because we're waiting for the Republicans to send it over.
Right.
And that's kind of where we are. And so there isn't much we can do. Another issue that I'm not quite sure what's going to happen because with the state employee contract, which I received a lot of emails about, I support the state employees contracts. They were fairly negotiated. Our job is to ratify. We do not change a negotiated contract. That's our job. That's in the statute.
Right.
And so the House approved the contract. And then in the Senate, they approved them only for this last year's raise, but the one that is starting today, essentially, they did not support. And it also costs us money with health care because the contracts that were negotiated had a more favorable health care rate and would have saved money on health care costs from the prior contract. And so, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen there, but that was another issue that is kind of in flux, but super important because these state employees are on the front lines, right? I mean, they're mm-hmm. the correctional officers, they're the troopers, they're, Hastings Veterans Home.
Yep.
They're state employees.
Yep.
And so, you know, they deserve to have the respect of the negotiated contract. And I certainly do that, and the Senate tried to negotiate that themselves. I think it's illegal what they did. I wouldn't support that, and I hope that gets figured out for these families that, you know, depend on, knowing what their health care costs are going to be and their wage is going to be. So those are some of the outstanding issues and some of the issues that were kind of handled through the legislative session as of the 18th.
All right. And so what is the recourse then for that Senate version of the contract negotiations? How do you rectify that?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be lawyers taking a look at it. You know, you can always just depend on lawyers to review that stuff
right,
and decide
right.
whether or not
mm-hmm.
What happened is legal. So I think that'll probably be the next thing. And so that's where it's going to be. And if action needs to be taken, I would dang well think it should happen on the 12th of June if additional action is needed. But I intend on supporting the negotiated contract because, I respect the rights of workers to collectively bargain. And that is what they did, in good faith, and they deserve those contracts. So, if for some reason, technically both the Senate and the House voted in support of the contract, so it's just one was a different version. And so, I mean, people with law degrees and in labor law experts, I'm sure, will be taking a look at it, and somebody will render some opinion or take some sort of course of action, as you suggested.
And then it would go back to the Senate then for just a vote on the contract
itself?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure. It depends on what the course of action would be. I don't know. If it's a lawsuit, then I would assume that the courts would either uphold something or strike something down. And yeah, then we would probably have to take another look at it. But I think that would be dependent on what course of action somebody would take.
Let's take a couple of moments here. And you mentioned it earlier, the RDA information that you were going over. Explain that a little bit more in detail for me, please.
Sure. sure. So the renewable development account really is there to help build out the capacity of renewable energy throughout Minnesota. And, you know, I'm very proud of this bipartisan legislation. And one of the benefits that this does, and I guess one of the reasons that we have the renewable development account, is to help communities that are losing these power plants as they're coming offline, and then they're built into more of a renewable energy standard, which is supported, of course, by Xcel, and a lot of these municipal cooperatives are throughout, I mean, there's in Dakota County, but throughout the state. And so one that I was particularly excited about was $16 million to Prairie Island Indian Community. They are looking at becoming a net zero energy community. They were receiving some money to turn their reservation into a net zero energy. So you wouldn't be having any carbon, right? And so I think that's very important as we are looking at how we can go into a green energy economy. The other ones were for Xcel for their solar initiative program. And then Granite Falls, they were doing hydroelectric, so a little different than the other two. And then we're going to just keep working on how we can help take some of the non-clean burning energy and turning it into clean energy. And I think that clearly that's a goal that is shared, and it's important for our future generations and our future economy, to be honest. These are good jobs that are going to get paid, and these aren't the only projects that are in the pipeline, if you will, pardon the pun, that we're going to be continuously looking at this and how we could continue to convert a lot of these plants and other projects that can be done cleaner. And I think that that's a very good goal, a goal I share. And I was very pleased that we got this across the finish line.
Senator Bigham, we have about a minute or so left. What I'd like to do is, even though the Senate or the legislature in general is not in session right now, that does not mean that your job ends up at the Capitol. So I'd like
Heck
to.
No.
It never really does. I would like to give you the opportunity once again to provide your contact information in case your constituents have questions or concerns.
Well, sure. And I encourage them to contact me because I'm here as a resource. So whether that is on COVID related issues, if you've lost your job, in need of assistance, need some clarification on something if you're a business, please reach out. I was very pleased that the commissioner of Employment and Economic Development came on to the call with the Downtown Hastings Business Association and the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce. I was able to set that up. I was joined by Representative Juergens and many business owners. So if you need any assistance, we can help facilitate that. You can reach me at 651-297-8060, or you can email me at SEN, which is the abbreviation for Senator, .Carla, remember that's with a K, .Bigham, at senate.mn.
Excellent. I'd like to thank Senator Bigham for your time today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No. But how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yes.
During this trying time in our ever-changing world, KDWA wants you to know some things will always remain the same. And that's our commitment to you, our listeners. KDWA is your only local full-time media source, bringing you what you need to know 24/7. Thank you for trusting in us. We're here for you. KDWA. Visit us online at kdwa.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.